Well, if you've been with us even for 1 week, I hope that you are getting the message that Westview Baptist is in the business of making passionate disciples of Jesus. This is our mission, to make passionate disciples of Jesus. And last week we explored something of what that means. It is our mission, it is what we do, because we individually and corporately together as a body, we see that our purpose is to bring glory to God. That is the purpose for our coming together. It's the purpose of what we're about. We want to get this into our thinking. We want to get it into our DNA. That whatever we do, we somehow do it, understanding that we're going to bring glory to God by doing this. So even you went to sleep last night. You slept so that you could find the rest you need, so that you could rise to bring glory to God in your day. We go to work. We go to work to provide for income for our families because that's a godly thing to do. We even provide income so that we can pay our taxes. That's a godly thing to do. And we get income so that we can be generous with one another. Again, another godly thing to do. All bringing glory to God. I'd love for you to think about when you go to the shops, how you can bring glory to God, or when you do the washing, how you bring glory to God, because some way or another, we're going to need to think into the normal, ordinary, everyday things. We do this so that we can bring glory to God. And there's our purpose. We want God to receive the glory, we want to work for his kingdom, and we want to have our lives reflect the glory of Christ who lives in us through his Holy Spirit. Our vision as a church, this is how we've expressed it, in our healthy church where truth gives birth to worship and fruitful living, we want to see people wholly dependent on God in prayer. That's what we want to see. We want to see the gospel transforming the lives of those around us. We want to see each person using their God-given gifts. We want to see leaders being raised up for ministry, and we want to see people sent in partnership. And over the next 5 weeks, including today, we're going to be looking at those five pictures. Today we're going to be exploring what it means to be sending people in partnership. And today we're going to do that by looking at a case study, the church in Antioch, which is read for us. We're going to look at the essential reason for partnerships, which is going to be a word named koinonia, which you will look at a bit later. And what does it mean for us? Some principles. So I want to think about a case study from the scriptures about sending people in partnership. The church in Antioch was started by believers who were scattered after the death of Stephen. Do you remember Stephen was martyred and the church scattered? The church plant in Antioch was an unauthorized church plant. It didn't have the approval of the apostles. It didn't have the approval of the church. These believers who knew no better went to Antioch and started proclaiming the gospel message. And when they shared it, they had such a response that the Jerusalem church heard about this remarkable gospel happening, and they had to send someone up they could trust. They had to send a name up. Barnabas was sent up to check it out. The gospel message takes off like a bushfire at Christmas Day, and it's out of control. Barnabas gets there. It's too big for him, so he goes over to grab Paul, who's up near Tarsus, and drag him over there because they've got to somehow catch up with what God is doing in that church. And you can read about that in Acts 11. Now, I believe that church in Antioch is the most important church of the first 2 centuries of the Christian era. Not because they coined the term Christian there, but they commenced the concept of recognizing people to send them in partnership for the sake of making known Jesus. Where the Jerusalem church was scattered because of persecution, the Antioch church intentionally, under the direction of the Holy Spirit, sent out even the most valuable people. They sent out Paul and Barnabas. If the church in Antioch wanted to build their church up big, they could have had a huge church. They could have had the biggest church in the world, which wouldn't have been too hard because there's probably only two churches in the world at that time. But they could have had the Hillsong of the day. They could have built up their church. They could have established something great. But what do we see? We see the church sending out their two most valuable assets to start a missionary movement. They sent them out. They recognized them in Antioch. They sent them out. And what resulted was many churches being established right through Asia Minor. And then we see that those churches actually plant other churches. But if it wasn't for the church in Antioch, it's hard to imagine how this would have happened. What we see here cannot be overstated. It is Paul and Barnabas discovering a pattern of partnerships with churches. They are building up gospel workers. And he saw that the partnerships with each other had one thing in common. Their one thing in common was the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Gospel partnerships with Jesus Christ at the very center. That's what Paul sees. Actually, Jesus himself brings us into partnership with one another. I hope you realize we're in partnership with one another because we acknowledge Jesus Christ as our Lord. The question is, are we going to be faithful in recognizing that? Before we look at how Paul understands some of the partnerships, I would like to explore what this word partnerships mean. I think it's helpful to know that often in the New Testament, when we see the word partner or partnership, it comes back to a Greek word, which we at Westview, we in our history have used very often. It's called koinonia. Remember that? Koinonia, for those who have been here for a while. Koinonia is the word that we often recognize as it's a fellowship, it's a partnership, there's intimacy. And koinonia is often used with this word partner that we'll see. And I want to give you a few instances of the use of this word. So in Acts chapter 2, verse 42, we see this. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship. That's that koinonia word, okay? So they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to koinonia, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Speaking about the communion meal, Paul in 1 Corinthians 10:16 says, is not the cup of thanksgiving for which we give thanks a participation, a koinonia, a connection with the blood of Christ? And isn't the bread that we break a participation, a partnership, a koinonia in the body of Christ? 2 Corinthians 6:14 says, do not be yoked together with unbelievers, for what do righteousness and wickedness have in common? Or what fellowship, what koinonia can light have with darkness? 2 Corinthians 13:14, one that we know very well. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and love of God and the koinonia, the fellowship, the partnership that we have with the Holy Spirit, the connection we have, the thing that we share, the Holy Spirit, be with you. What we have in common, what this community is built upon, what we share together is the koinonia we have with Jesus Christ. It doesn't matter if I'm here in Australia and you're there in England. The distance doesn't matter. What we have share, what we share in Christ, the koinonia that we have, is the headship of Jesus himself. So does it surprise you that Paul, when he speaks about the importance of partnership, his koinonia with people, that he talks about this in relationship with the people in the churches? He writes letters to different people in different churches and he talks about the koinonia that he has with them and they have with him. This word is the root word, koinonia, or it's sometimes a verb or a noun. It is to fulfill the commission for which every believer has been called to fulfill. So let me direct your attention to Philemon chapter 1. Philemon says, Paul writes, Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus, and Timothy, our brother, to Philemon, our dear friend and fellow worker, that's not the word koinonia, but it's a different word. Verse 4, I always thank my God as I remember you in my prayers, because I hear about your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and your love for all the saints. I pray that your partnership, your koinonia with us in the faith may be effective in deepening your understanding of every good thing we share for the sake of Christ. Do you take note? Just take note of that, what Paul says to Philemon. He's saying to Philemon that because of this koinonia, this partnership they have, there'll be an outcome for him. Something wonderful will happen for him. There'll be a deepening the knowledge of what they share. Philemon is blessed because of this koinonia, because of this partnership. But Paul also recognizes a benefit to him. Verse 7, your love has given me great joy and encouragement, because you, brother, have refreshed the hearts of the saints. This partnership delivers joy and encouragement for Paul. There's a blessing for Philemon. There's a blessing for Paul. There's an encouragement. There's a deepening for them both. So verse 17, so if you consider me a partner, and I bet you know what the root word for that is. If you consider me a koinonia, welcome him as you have welcomed me. And later on he says, verse 24, and so do Mark, Artiscus, Demas, Luke, and my fellow workers. So Paul is not expecting this partnership status just to be between him and the churches, but all those who work for the gospel message. So let me show you 2 Corinthians, verse 8, 22. Where Paul writes, in addition, we are sending with them our brother, who has often proved to us in many ways that he is zealous, and now even more because of the great confidence in you. As for Titus, he is my partner, he is my koinos, and co-worker, that's a different word used there, among you. Look at this. As for our brothers, they are representatives of the churches and honour to Christ. Therefore, show these men the proof of your love and the reason of our pride so that the churches can see it. The partnerships that we can are even more significant because they are apart from one another. And you notice these partners, these co-workers, are representatives of the churches. They actually go out and represent the churches that send them. They're not considered a burden on the church. They represent the church. They're an opportunity for the church to show love and pride in these partners so that other churches might take on that model for them also. But there are times, and we as a church know this very well, where we have to bring partnerships to an end. Because if people move from the truth of the gospel and are diverted away from truth and don't act in godliness, then there are times when we need to sever partnerships. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 6 and 8. Let no one deceive you with evil words, for because of such things God's wrath comes on those who are disobedient. Therefore, do not be partners with them. Now, to be fair, that's not the word koinos. But do not be partners with them, for they were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of the light. We're talking about partnerships in the gospel. And so if anyone moves from the gospel message, the partnership can't continue because there's nothing, no basis of the partnership. How can there be a partnership based upon the gospel if no gospel is proclaimed? So the wonderful thing here I want to point out is there's accountability between the partners. Those who are in partnership have an accountability to one another. And I was thinking about the eldership here. As a group, we're accountable to the church. But individually, we are accountable to one another. Lee, JJ and I, we're accountable to one another. I expect to be accountable to them, and I expect them to be accountable to me. Please do not think that somehow I'm the boss of the elders. I think the term senior pastor, which is common in some churches, is not helpful, because the senior pastor can almost present as he's untouchable. You know, he's the boss. He's not accountable to anyone. He's the leader. But you see, the senior pastor is not generally accountable to the associate pastor or the assistant pastor or the elders. I think it's not a helpful term for us to get involved with. The elders do have different roles. Yes, we've got different amount of time. I mean, Lee works, JJ and I don't. There's different things we can do, but we are accountable to one another equally, and we're accountable to the church. It's the way that I like it. I think it's really important, because there's real protection there for me and for them and for the church. Well, consider how Paul puts it. Look, I want you to look particularly for the joy he finds in the partnership. Philippians 1:4. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership. You know what that word is? Pick up a bit of Greek. In the gospel. Yeah, the partnership in the gospel. This is why he's got joy. And it's why he prays for them. He prays them with great joy because of the partnership in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. There is joy in partnerships. We rejoice together as things go well. We mourn together when there is suffering. And to have that is actually a gift of God. We can be certain that from these verses that the believers will persevere to the end, because it is Jesus Christ doing the work in them. We are always saved by grace, and by grace we are preserved to the very end. Take a look at what Paul writes to the Thessalonians. This does not contain the word koinonia, but it talks about a fellow worker. It's a different word that they use. But how do we see the deep connections that we can have with one another, the emotions that can be strongly bind us together, all for the glory of God? Look at 1 Thessalonians 3:1. So when we could stand it no longer, I love that. Isn't that Paul's emotion? You know, like, it's almost like language for lovers, isn't it? You know, I could stand it no longer. I had to come and see you. But here Paul says, so when we could stand it no longer, we thought it best to be left by ourselves in Athens. We sent Timothy, who is our brother and co-worker in God's service in spreading the gospel of Christ, to strengthen and encourage you for your faith. Did you notice that the partnerships work to serve God in spreading the gospel message? And that the spreading of the gospel message is something that will strengthen and encourage the faith of those involved in partnerships. So think about this. In sending people out, we're not weakening the church. We're actually strengthening the church. I think that we need to take seriously the note of these partnerships for the sake of the gospel. Who wants to find a bit more joy in their life? Who wants to find a bit more happiness in their life? Who wants to find more encouragement and faith building? Well, here we have a way of doing it. I want to see how God works in and through his people in partnerships. All of this because we've been called into the family of God. So we've taken on the family business. We're in the family business, aren't we? We know what the family business is, making passionate disciples for Jesus. That's the business we're in. And we are to be passionate about that. I think of Ecclesiastes 4:9. Two are better than one because they have a good return for their work. That's a word about partnerships, isn't it? What does this mean for us, the church? I'd like to give some principles. It's going to be on the screen, but I've got notes here for it. They're all written out here if you'd like to take them and think about them. I'll email them and I'm going to put on Facebook and all that sort of stuff. So don't feel like you have to scribble it all down. I'd like to present some practical outworkings for this for us as a church to consider as we move forward. The reason to develop partnerships. Well, partnerships are a healthy and biblical consequence of gospel koinonia. The consequence of the gospel is that we will be involved in partnerships. We are, but are we going to go wider? Partnerships were the means by which the gospel was spread in the New Testament. Imagine Paul being sent out, no partnerships, he's just by himself. How could he have got through it? I don't think he could have. Partnerships work for God's kingdom beyond our particular focus. How else could the church at Antioch establish a church in Galatia except by sending Paul out? Paul and Barnabas. Partnerships support those called away by God to pursue a similar purpose and mission. It's remember, it's gospel stuff. This is gospel partnerships. Partnerships work against the dangers of isolation. We don't just send people out, cut their ties, say, God bless you, come back one day maybe. We look for ways to build those relationships. Partnerships keep each other accountable to a common purpose, and partnerships are used by God to bring growth when we work together. We've been thinking about general principles for that partnership. And again, this is all written down, but it's on the screen. Partnerships are with those we cannot meet with each Sunday as they minister for a common purpose. We're not talking specifically about the partnerships that we have with one another. But it's those people who will no longer be meeting with us here on Sunday because we've been sending them out. Paul could no longer go to the Antioch church when he left because he was in partnership with them being sent out. Partnerships are based upon relationships we have in Christ and with each other. It's centered around Jesus Christ's lordship. The very reason we center the teaching around the Word of God and our gathering around the bread and the juice, it's all about Jesus. Partnerships require effort to maintain. They might be messy and even costly. No one likes messy, do they? Well, maybe some people seem to. But messy is what it's going to be. But it's messy for a purpose. That's what we need to remember. It's costly for a purpose. I think it'd be wise that partnerships should be limited to manageable numbers. I don't think we need to. There's so many people in being sent into the world. We can't be partners with every one of them. So we need to be wise in who we sort of seek to be partners with. Partnership needs to be with people rather than organisations. We have some wonderful organisations which we support, but I think we need to be making partnerships with people rather than just an organisation. I think we need to put a priority with our partnerships. I think firstly the priority would be those who are sent. That'd be the highest. Those who we say, we want you to go here. We want you to do this. We think God's calling you to do this, like Paul and Barnabas. I think then there are those that we know. And I just think of, I've got an EG, Tim and Sujan there. We've not asked them to go to Bible college, but we think it's a wonderful thing. So wouldn't it be wonderful for us to stay connected with them, to be praying for them, to try to look for ways to build relationship with them while they do that. And thirdly, I see those that we have a relationship with historically. And Alison Roth in Turkey is one. We didn't send her out. She was never a part of us, but we have a strong connection with Alison Roth. And that's one person we could maintain the relationship. But I do think we need to have a bit of a priority system going. I think partnerships result in our partners representing our church. They go as Westview. They actually represent us in some way. Partnerships require prayer and relationships as the essential component. That's the essential component, prayer and relationships. But partnerships brings all people joy. That's a wonderful thing. Partnerships, I think, are a blessing of God for us. What we are proposing to do is to formalise those partnerships a bit more, to sharpen the focus. Later in the service, Alan's going to come and he's going to give us partnership news. And we want to do that each week. We're going to have a five-minute time where we actually, here's our partner, here's the picture. If you only joined us last week, this is the person we're praying for. These are the people we sent out. These are the people we're in partner with, and we're going to pray for them. So we know each week we'll discover something more about one of them, not all of them at one time. We are looking at ways of developing this so that we might see passionate disciples of Jesus being established in places which we couldn't reach. We're doing this so that God might be glorified in all things. Let me just pray. Father, I just want to just thank you, Lord, for the excitement I have received in just thinking through this during the week. And I pray, Father, that your word has communicated the joy, the excitement that this might be, that as we explore as a church how we might partner better and more intentionally, perhaps, with people as they go on mission further afield than just Doonside. We pray, Father, that you would help us in this and that we might learn to how to respond to you, just like that church in Antioch. We'd love to see much fruit in your kingdom, all for your glory. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, just...